from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. So my name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide episodes 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays for now. Normally, this is a daily show Monday through Friday under normal circumstances with the baseball season. And on this show, we talk about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple and easily accessible for everyone. Coming up on today's show, I wanted to do a Giants mailbag. It has been forever since we did one. We got caught up in the themed content as baseball went on this hiatus, and then we got caught up and wrapped up in the negotiations, if we can call them that, between the league and the Players Association, and then now we've been caught up on the attempt at resuming the baseball season. So really, really glad to be able to bring in some questions to talk about on today's show. At mhurley161 asks, how do you think the Giants stack up against other teams within the division? In my opinion, they are as good as or better than the Padres and Rockies, but I'm interested on what you think. The first thing that I should say, and it's super obvious and everybody I'm sure agrees, is that the Dodgers are far and away the best team in the division. Now, number two, it's pretty clearly at this point the Arizona Diamondbacks. And it's not just because of Madison Bumgarner. It's because of Ketel Marte, Eduardo Escobar, Christian Walker, Robbie Ray, Zach Gallen, Carson Kelly, David Peralta, on and on. So anyway, I think they're number two. And then this is where it gets interesting. Between the Rockies, the Padres, and the Giants, I think this is my opportunity to bash on the Rockies. I think they get a lot more love than they really should in the game of baseball. Everyone year in and year out is like, man, that's a great lineup that the Rockies have every year, no matter who's on their team. The fact of the matter is that the Rockies have one of the worst offenses in baseball. They were about the same as the Giants in terms of park-adjusted offense last season. So I'm going to put the Rockies last in the division here in terms of what I expect them to do and what their true talent is. And yes, I think the Padres have more talent than the Giants on paper, but that was kind of true last year as well, and the Giants finished with a better record. But just in terms of the talent, I think it's easy to go with the Padres for me, but they have yet to prove that they can actually turn that into wins on the field. I think the Giants have more of a tendency to be able to do that. So 3 and 4, kind of a toss-up. I mean, no, it goes to the Padres for me. So the Giants fourth, but that's not really a knock on them. I mean, the Diamondbacks and the Padres have some intriguing talent on their team. So to say the Giants are fourth, you know, doesn't necessarily reflect super poorly on them. Okay, so next question. Thomas asks, hi from Scotland. Go Giants, and who do you think will have a breakout season this year? Well, hello, Thomas, and thank you for listening all the way from Scotland. That's pretty cool. I reviewed the Giants roster looking for an answer to this question, and I think the obvious answer is Jalen Davis because of how much the Giants talk about him as someone who can really make an impact for them. I thought it was really interesting to hear Scott Harris, general manager of the Giants, Scott Harris, talking to Alex Pavlovich on a podcast yesterday about Jalen Davis, and there were some nuggets in there about him that we hadn't really necessarily heard from the Giants front office to this point. And Harris mentioned that, you know, they were talking about platoons and they said, yes, he said, yes, we really think that Jalen Davis can make a huge impact against left-handed pitching in a platoon. He went on to say that we're not just going to say he's just a bat against left-handed pitching, but he also basically said that most of the damage he's done in his minor league career was against lefties, and he's struggled a little bit more against righty. So I have had a hard time accessing minor league data, lefty versus righty kind of platoon splits. So some of these guys, for me, it's like a mystery as to whether or not they're platoonable. But for Davis, if he's just going to be mostly playing against lefties, that changes things for me, and it makes me think it's way more likely that he is going to make that impact. That being said, Harris went on to say that some of the best players in the game really struggled in their first several months in the major leagues before figuring it out and becoming all-star caliber players, and he basically made that comparison for Davis. So they're high on Davis. I think that's the obvious pick. If he can kind of figure it out, you know, we throw out the small sample from 2019, because that's exactly what Scott Harris is talking about, and he's right. If you go back and look at the careers of even Hall of Famers, they may have struggled for their first sometimes 2 or 3 years in the major leagues in smaller samples. They're not playing full time. They're just kind of getting a taste, and then they figure it all out and become the players they became. But other than that, I think Tyler Anderson could do really well outside of Coors Field, and he doesn't get a lot of recognition, but I like the left-handed pitcher Tyler Anderson. I also think Tyler Rogers just continuing to do what he did last year would be kind of considered a breakout out of the bullpen. And then Darren Ruff could make a real comeback playing mostly against lefties and just doing potentially really well. I mean, his career numbers against lefties are outstanding, but if you look at his overall numbers, they're not very good in his major league career, and that's because he played a lot against righties. But if he's just playing against lefties, those numbers might suddenly look really, really good for Darren Ruff. For the rest of the league, it would seemingly be kind of out of nowhere. And then, of course, Joey Bart, if he debuts, he could certainly make an impact as well. So a lot of candidates. Humbus's second best buddy asks, how will games at catcher be split between Posey and the imminent second catcher, in your opinion? Can Posey catch a majority of the 60 games? So I thought long and hard about this one, and I've kind of settled on the fact that I don't think it's going to be very different than a normal season in terms of the workload for Posey behind the plate, because the demands of the position are still the demands of the position, and you're in a squat for 9 innings at a time, day in and day out. You can't just suddenly catch all 60 or close to it just because it's a shorter season. I mean, there's somewhat of an effect because you don't have to play for 162, but at the same time, I mean, he's going to need a day off 1 or 2 times a week, I would imagine. So interestingly, in the last 2 years, Posey has played about 67% of games, with only a handful of those games at first base. Especially last year, he played only 4 games at first and 101 behind the plate. If we look at those 101, that's just 62% of games. So if you multiply that by 60 games, that's just 37 games. So yeah, I actually would expect him to play more than 37 games behind the plate in a 60-game season, maybe more like 45. So as I'm going along here, I guess I'm changing my answer. I'll say that Posey starts about 45 games, assuming he's healthy and we get 60 games in. All right, next up will be a couple of questions about the pitching rotation, how the innings are going to be shared, how the bullpen is going to shape up, and how the Giants are going to trim their roster. But first, I want to talk about rockauto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and $216.79 at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same auto parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, as promised, here in the second half of the show, going to talk about the Giants pitching, how they're going to share the innings, how the bullpen is going to look, and how they're going to trim down their roster from 30 to 26 as the weeks go on in the first month of the season. But the first question comes from Jason, who asks, who do you think pitches the bulk of innings for the Giants in 2020 outside of Cueto and Samardzija? Where do Kevin Gausman, Drew Smyly, Derek Rodriguez, Trevor Cahill, Connor Menez, Logan Webb, and Andrew Triggs fit in? Could they add some arms? So I think we're going to see totally different pitching structures than what we're used to in 2020. And in terms of who will get the bulk of the innings outside of Cueto and Samardzija, I have to imagine Kevin Gausman is probably going to throw a lot of innings this year. And I think in that kind of shortened role, still in a starter's role, but going 3, 4, maybe 5 innings at a time, I think he could thrive. And so I would expect him to throw a lot of innings. They have just so many starting pitchers, 11 as we counted yesterday. And I honestly thought I could have added one more to that list. But I think they're just going to share the load, and you're going to see a lot of guys who end up throwing a similar amount of innings. So 9 innings times 60 games, which is a rough estimate of the number of innings the Giants will have to throw, is 540. It's so much less than what is normally required in a 162-game season. So assuming you have 14 pitchers, because part of the year they're going to probably have 15, part of the year they'll have maybe 14, and part of the year they'll have 13. That's just 38.6 innings per pitcher. So obviously some pitchers are going to throw multiple innings. Some will still only throw one inning at a time. But I do expect all of these guys, like Tyler Anderson, Sean Anderson, Gausman, Derek Rodriguez, Drew Smyly, Andy Suarez, Logan Webb, Trevor Cahill, Andrew Triggs, potentially. I mean, Triggs is not on the roster, and neither is Cahill. They'd have to be added. But that's 9 different guys who could throw multiple innings, maybe as many as 4 or 5 innings at a time, even out of the bullpen. So I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to piggyback where, like, one starter goes 3, 4 innings, and then another starter goes 3, 4 innings because they have so many starting pitchers. But in terms of who I think are kind of the main guys outside of Cueto and Samardzija, I'm going to say Tyler Anderson, Kevin Gausman, Drew Smyly, and Logan Webb. I expect those guys to throw the most innings. James says, going off Jason's question below about pitching, who do you think the closer is? Set up men for late innings. What has Kapler done in the past with the Phillies? Dedicated roles or more matchup based? Thanks. Love the show. Well, thank you very much. So Kapler said the other day that Tyler Rogers and Tony Watson are two guys that have consideration for that closer's role, if there is a closer's role. So I definitely think Tyler Rogers is capable of filling that role. He was so impressive last year, and then watching him in the spring, just the little bit of action I saw from him, I was super impressed with the way he was locating the ball against left-handed hitters. He was spotting it up and in with that ridiculously funky delivery, obviously. So when you can just command pitches out of that arm slot, he was just making guys look foolish last year down the stretch, and continuing it in spring training. I saw him throw some like up and in changeups, which just totally locked up the hitters. So I have a lot of faith in Tyler Rogers. I think it'd be really cool to have him and his brother in Minnesota, twin brother, as closers in the major leagues. And it would be such a great story for him, as he spent so many years in the minors without getting a call-up. So in terms of setup men for the late innings, I do think it's possible one of these starting pitchers kind of emerges as a bridge to the late innings and can become a late inning guy himself. Whether it's Sean Anderson, which we saw some of last year. Sean Anderson closed a little bit last year, and we saw how the stuff played up. So you can just imagine that any of these starters could have that their stuff play up like that in a bullpen role. Trevor Gott is a guy I would consider a late inning type reliever potentially. Was really impressed with Danny Jimenez, the Rule 5 pick, but I don't think that he's going to have to earn his way into that role. And I think Tony Watson will be relied on heavily in a late inning mix. So yeah, the two guys I'll go with, Tyler Rogers, Tony Watson, and then if I had to put a starter who might fit into that bullpen role eventually, it could be Sean Anderson. Lane says, when rosters get trimmed down to 26, will the Giants cut older vets or just send down guys with options? So it's a good question, and I think they'll just be opportunistic with whatever makes sense for them at the time. And rosters, you know, they don't have to go down to 26 all at once from 30, which is where they'll start the season. It goes to 28 after 2 weeks and then 26 after another 2 weeks. But I don't think they're going to cut older veterans unless they're underperforming, and that may be the move. If they bring guys onto the roster or just keep guys on the roster and they're underperforming, like what comes to mind is Yanhervis Solarte and Gerardo Parra last year. Those guys were supposed to be a part of what was going on here, but they just did not play well, and eventually when moves needed to be made, they were cut. So that I could definitely see that happening, although they don't have as many of that type of player on their roster right now. So I would expect it'll be guys with options who will get sent down, but they're going to just base it off of performance. If you're performing well and you have options, you're not getting sent down. They'll be nimble, and I trust that they'll make the right decision for the organization. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much to everyone who submitted questions. To get this show 3 days a week, please hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.